Gotcha.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Woo, buddy! I was worried a little bit. I mean, let's be honest. Malik Willis comes out with your team with under two to go, tie game. You're thinking, well, maybe Josh Jacobs breaks one. Maybe Malik Willis breaks a run. Maybe that's how you get into field goal range. I did not see Jaden Reed running down the left sideline with nobody around him. But see, that's what happens when Malik Willis isn't at quarterback. They don't respect him. They don't. Simple and sweet. They don't respect Malik Willis, the guy that throws the football. Eventually, they will respect Malik Willis, the guy that throws the football. But they did not in that situation. And Malik Willis made them pay. That sets up the game-winning field goal for the second week in a row by Brandon McManus. And the Packers win 30-27. Nicolay Law fan line, dial it up. Let's talk about this win. Lots to talk about. People getting hurt. People getting exposed in the secondary. Malik Willis with another win. 3-0 now. In case that he ends up having to come in and finish or start. Come on, man. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at The Fan Milwaukee. Malik Willis, 4 of 5, 56 yards, a quarterback rating of 152.9. Pretty damn good. And a touchdown pass on top of that to Tucker Kraft. I know that we give a lot of credit from time to time to Brian Gutekunst. I also know that a lot of you were absolutely killing Brian Gutekunst for the love pick. And we're killing Brian Gutekunst during the Aaron Rodgers period of time. I get it. I understand it. But now, hey, you need to start patting on the butt and saying, way to go, you the man. Sporting News just named their executives of the year in baseball. Matt Arnold wins it for the executive of the year for the Brewers. Pat Murphy wins it, manager of the year for the Brewers. Both of them win it. Packers are putting themselves in a position here, depending on how this thing plays out, to have the same thing happen with them. LaFleur, maybe coach of the year, and maybe Goody gets GM executive of the year at this point. Think about it. He cut both of his backup quarterbacks prior to the season starting, made a trade for a guy that had been a complete bust in Nashville with the Titans. And Malik Willis, he comes in, has to play right away, wins both games, goes 2-0, and then Jordan Love comes back. And now here today, they're in Jacksonville playing the Jaguars. Love was hurt early on and was playing through it. And I give him props. He sucked it up, said, you know, I'm not 100%, I can't run as well, but I'm going to try and play through it. He did. Ball was, you know, maybe sailing a little bit, maybe not as much oomph on the ball because he couldn't plan as well, whatever the case may be, one normal Jordan Love. Fine. Then he gets to the point where he can't play. He limps off after Walker falls into him or gets to him or whatever the case may be. And in comes Malik Willis. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, let's see what happens. They win another one with Malik Willis. Now, next week is the Lions. We got all week to talk about the Lions. They absolutely clobbered the Titans today. But there are a lot of positives in this game, and there are some negatives and question marks in this game that we can get to. Nicolay Law fan line, dial it up, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Initial thoughts from our guy, Tommy Wirtz, Crazy Takes, other side of the glass, normally producing the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman, weekday mornings from 8 till 9. That'll be a great show tomorrow morning. Dusty Evely, film analyst, who I have on all the time, on with Andy Herman tomorrow morning. And that'll be at 8:20. And then 9 to 11, Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. That's going to be amazing. They had Brandon McManus on last week after he had the game-winning field goal. And another game-winning field goal today for McManus. Crazy takes, Tommy Wirtz. What you think of this one?
Yeah, I guess it might turn into a weekly segment with Brandon McManus. We'll have to reach out again, see if we can get him on. But honestly, that was a little nerve-wracking at the end, especially in the second-half defense, which Jeff Hafley has been a stud the last month or so at that. And the Jaguars really fought in that one. Trevor Lawrence didn't have his two best receiving options on that last drive where they went down the field and scored, and Keyshawn Nixon got absolutely mossed by Evan Ingram. But Malik Willis, man, he is... Here's first crazy take of the day. How about this?
Oh, no.
Malik Willis needs a contract, okay? He needs a backup quarterback contract
for this team. Sure, fine.
He absolutely needs one. Lock him up for two more years.
Agreed.
I think they have control of him next year still, right? I believe he's got one
Correct.
More year, yes. So, I want him three more years. I want Malik Willis. I had no doubt when Malik Willis came into the game. I did not. I was obviously scared for Jordan Love, but I believe Malik Willis and Matt LaFleur's offense, it just fits. It is cookies and milk. It is peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, my
Whatever
Lord.
You need, Phew. That is Malik Willis. He was meant to be there for that. And that last drive, I mean, spoiler alert, you'll hear it again at some point for another segment in this show. Malik Willis, what a stud to come in there. Jaden Reed been pretty quiet the last couple of weeks, but you saw they drew up a perfect play for him, and he was wide open, and it won the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That Jaden Reed play that you were talking about here, this is what it sounded like, Fox 6.
On second and six, fake to Jacobs.
Uh-oh, he's got him.
Willis to a wide open Jaden Reed. Reed takes it all the way to the Jaguars' 17-yard line, a 49-yard catch and run.
Again, like I said before, Albert on the call there, like I said before, they don't respect his throwing ability.
No.
They don't. You could just see when the Packers came out with under 2 minutes left, they brought everybody up like, you are not running the football on us. You're not. You aren't specifically running the football, Malik Willis, and we're not allowing Josh Jacobs to break one off either. And why would you be concerned about that? Because he did it to you earlier in the half with this.
From the 42, fake to Jacobs. Willis looking, steps up, takes off, across midfield, still going. And then Malik Willis slides. He will be marked down at the Jaguars' 39-yard line.
That literally happened. And the very next play, Josh Jacobs said, I'll take that.
Now hands it off, Jacobs, cuts to the outside, Josh Jacobs, inside the 20, the 10, to the end zone, touchdown, his second today, takes it in from 38 yards out.
So you had a long run from Malik Willis, I think it was like 20, 25 yard run, then Josh Jacobs takes the next play and goes in for a touchdown. Now, I'm not saying one caused the other to occur, if you weren't realizing who was in that quarterback, as soon as Malik Willis took off, the defense had to say, timeout, we have to regroup here. Because Love couldn't move. We didn't have to worry about this. Now the defensive game plan kind of goes out the window a little bit, and you have to change it. So many times, I've heard over the course of my life, that when you have a quarterback, that you want the backup quarterback to be as similar to the starting quarterback as possible in style and play, right? So if you have Lamar Jackson, you want a Huntley behind him in Baltimore. Why? Because he's similar to Lamar. He can get out and run a little bit. He can throw it. You don't want two directly different styles of playing quarterback. That very well may be true. But when you have a really good play caller and Matt LaFleur, you can have different styles and make it work. And in my opinion, it's way more difficult on the defense when a guy that comes in is not necessarily the guy that went out. Because now you have to kind of scrap what you're doing defensively, regroup, and rethink how you're going to attack this offense with a guy that could take off and burn you at any time with his legs. Changes everything.
Did you see when he got sacked on the second-to-last drive of the game, how hesitant they were to even go after him?
Yes.
I think they were trying to set up a screen of some sorts. The offensive line obviously didn't block like the best pass pro on it, but they all were very hesitant to even go after him. That was the Malik Willis fear factor on their Jaguars front four right there.
But that's how the Packers played against Hurts, against Richardson, right? So they then had to play that way against the Packers in fear of Malik Willis taking off. The same way Green Bay's defensive played against guys that can run. Same thing.
I don't know how Tennessee didn't utilize this correctly. I mean, I know it's a difference in the organizations.
Gotta have a good play caller.
Malik Willis looked atrocious in Tennessee, yep. And he has never looked more competent, even in his college career, it seems like, at this point right now.
He looks great.
He looks great.
And again, you're right. I'm sure the Nashville fan base down there for the Tennessee Titans is probably shaking their head like, are you kidding me? He's got three wins? Because to me, Jordan Love probably gets the win because he started the game. But in my mind, that's a win for Malik Willis. He's the one that finished that bad boy off and had to come back and win that game in under 2 minutes. And that's not something everybody can do. And he came up big time in that moment in time. And then what happened there? Then that meant that Brandon McManus had an opportunity to go kick. Now, what should not be lost is out goes Josh Jacobs limping. In comes Chris Brooks. He breaks through the line and says, no, I'm not going to score. I got the first down, and I slide down. Smart, headsy play, not thinking about himself, goes down on purpose. Now that allows them to essentially kneel it, put it where they want it, and this dude does his thing.
Packers looking to make it four in a row. Four-yard attempt.
Chip shot, baby. No doubt. Nobody was thinking he was going to miss this one. Money.
McManus for the second straight week.
Mm-hmm.
A Green Bay Packers game-winning field goal.
You hear all those Packer fans? I saw somebody say, Bye Duval.
I don't know
who said that, but that was amazing. Bye Duval. That's so funny. I saw somebody on Twitter told me that when they checked into their hotel, one of the hotel workers had told them that they were expecting around 30 or 35,000 Packer fans at this game in Duval, home of the Jaguars. I also didn't realize how well the Jaguars play in games after they come back from London. But apparently there's a track record where Jaguars usually play pretty good that first game back after London. And, hey, they deserve credit, right? They battled all the way back to get into this thing to tie it. And then, unfortunately, you know, a backup quarterback beat them. Kind of similar to the Badgers yesterday. I see everybody getting all upset and up in arms. You're not going to let a backup quarterback beat you, Wisconsin. Dude, your backup quarterback is playing too. It was two backup quarterbacks playing against each other. And one backup quarterback had significantly more talent on his team than the backup quarterback did wearing the W on his helmet. Big difference. In this situation here for the Packers, it was advantage play caller. Doug Peterson, good play caller. Nothing against Doug Peterson. But Matt LaFleur is the cream of the crop right now in the National Football League when it comes to calling plays, getting guys open, and doing their thing. Nicolay Law, fan line, dial it up, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us as well at The Fan Milwaukee. So good. So good. And as Tommy Wirtz said to start off the show, folks, maybe they should consider maybe giving this dude an extension for a couple of years. Make sure he's the backup for the next, like, 3 years and go from there. Now, I don't know if he'd want to do it. He may not. He may be like, no, man, I want to go start somewhere after my contract's up next year. I want to go, because if you think about it, if Jordan Love can't stay healthy, he's going to get a couple more chances maybe this year, and then maybe a couple more chances next year to where he could put himself in a position to go be a starting quarterback somewhere in a couple of years. So maybe he wouldn't sign it, but I don't have a problem necessarily attempting to get that deal done.
Yeah, if you got to give him $5 million a year, something like that, I think that's fair.
Sure. Yeah,
I don't want to give him $10 million to be the backup, but if you can get him for, you know, if I could get,
$3 to $5 million a year.
Yeah, $7 million maybe even, just the very high end if you love him and he does something else that's awesome this year. But yeah, no, $10 million's too much for sure. I don't know if he's done enough to earn a starting spot, but he looks great in the Packers offense.
It's all based on what his mind thinks. It's not based on what you or I think. It's based on what he thinks. You know, if him and his agent think they've put enough on film to convince somebody to kind of come after him to be a starter, then maybe it works out. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, and they're looking for full-time independent contractors right now. Right now. Now, what does that mean? All that means is you drive for a living. You drive for a career. A lot of people do this as a second career. Maybe they do one career for, you know, 20, 25 years, and then like, man, I need something else. And then they do this. Sometimes you got people straight out of high school that still don't know what they want to do and end up doing this for a career and find a lot of joy in it. You're driving from point A to point B, picking stuff up, dropping stuff off. Now, Young Express has a 24/7 dispatch team. Over 700 direct customers, extremely dedicated, take it very personal, to keep drivers moving. Now, they are looking for people with cargo vans or sprinter vans. That's part of it. Obviously, you have to have the insurance, a good driving record, driver's license, all that. 99% no-touch freight. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is worry about is driving. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G-Express.com. Young Express, success drives them.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Fan.
30-27, your Green Bay Packers victorious, 6-2. Lions await. Coming up next weekend, and then a bye week for the Packers. And then it's the Bears. Two big games on the horizon. Jordan Love's injury, obviously the one that everybody's going to want to talk about this week, but I don't think that should be the only one. Evan Williams is a huge part of that defense. You saw it. And we'll get to talking about the defense a little bit later, but Packers win 30-27. As we broadcast from the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Did the show there on Friday. It was awesome. I had a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody that came on from Potawatomi. Thanks to Mitch Nellis. Crazy Takes Tommy Wirtz was with me to start off the show. Radar from 99.1 WMYX's morning show. He was on as well. So had a great time out there. Then I went to Rockin' Brews after and had dinner with the family. Highly, highly suggest. Great food. Had pizzas, and they're individual pizzas. And I had the Supreme, I think that was what they called, the Supremes pizza, kind of like the Supremes, the group, I think is the point of it.
Yeah,
you get it? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So had that. That was phenomenal. The 8-year-old had his kid's pizza that he loved, and we took a couple pieces home. So yeah, highly suggest if you're looking for somewhere to go for some good pizza, Rockin' Brews is your place.
Shout out to Luis.
Luis, they treated us.
They treated us like kings. Over there. They were awesome.
Yes, they did. No question about it. And Mitch Nellis ate like a king when he was there.
That guy will not pass up free food.
No,
for sure.
He's been in radio too long.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yes.
With media people. Media people, for the most part. Yeah. Whether it's journalists, radio people, TV people, everybody loves free food.
Yeah. He's a tornado with his thunder, for sure. Yeah. Comes around and just everything gets sucked up.
He is. So Packers with 30-27. Let's go inside the box score. Brought to us by our fine, fine friends over there in Oak Creek. And again, we start talking about Steelwind Industries. They are a huge, huge piece to what we do for our toy drive for the last several years, and looking forward to them being a sponsor of the Toy Drive again coming up this year, December 6th through their summer 2nd, I should say, through December 6th, Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, Bears Sunrooms providing us a sunroom again this year as we collect toys and cash donation for Children's Wisconsin again starting December 2nd. Mark it on your calendar. Look forward to seeing you out there. All right, let's go inside the box score. Jordan Love, 14-22, 196, no touchdowns, a pick. A passer rating of 73.3. And again, clearly wasn't healthy early on. Ball was kind of sailing on him a little bit. Didn't have as much zip. It didn't appear on it as well. Malik Willis, 4-5, 56 yards. A touchdown, 152.9 passer rating for him. Running the ball, Josh Jacobs, can't do it much better. 25 for 127, two touchdowns. And Jonathan Vilma, who, you know, I don't like to be that guy. He doesn't seem the most Packer-friendly announcer that there is on TV when he does games. Just thing I throw it out there. 25 for 127, two touchdowns. But Jacobs, as Vilma pointed out, you know, the Packers really haven't lost anything not having Aaron Jones. Jacobs has walked in and kind of taken over that role and maybe done it even a little bit better than Aaron Jones did when he was here.
As pure running back goes, yeah, I would say that's a very fair statement. You know, Aaron Jones, such a huge part of the pass game when he was on the team whenever those last few years. But
he's also been available.
I mean,
now he got hurt at the end of this game, but it doesn't look that serious. Jacobs has also been available. Jones has already missed a game in Minnesota with a hip injury.
Yeah, and you knew that was coming at some point this year, too, with Minnesota. Yeah, and Jacobs, you know, I know you and Charlie on Wisconsin Sports Daily like to talk about, you got to get him the ball. Got to get him the ball more. He takes on a bigger load than most running backs in the NFL.
He's fourth in the NFL coming into this week with rushing attempts.
Yeah, and they gave him 25 more today. Yep. I think, and they obviously needed to once Jordan Love went down during the game. So you could expect that number to be higher in the second half when you're leading and your starting quarterback goes out. But he's just Mr. Consistent this whole year, and today he finally was breaking off the big runs. And that's what we wanted to see out of Josh Jacobs was, okay, I know you can get me 4 yards pretty much every time you touch the ball. Now can you break one for us? Because we needed a game where you could break one.
Yeah.
And he came through with it today.
38-yard touchdown run for Josh Jacobs. And again, a nice game for him. Malik Willis, 4 carries for 23 yards, along with 20 yards. We played that earlier. Chris Brooks, 4 for 16. Could have had a touchdown, but was smart. Went down there at the end the goal line, so appreciate that. Emmanuel Wilson, 4 carries, 5 yards. Jaden Reed, 1 for 0. Jordan Love, 1 for -1. Receiving, Tucker Kraft just doing his thing. 3 targets, 3 catches, 78 yards, a touchdown, 67 yards. The long one for him, Kraft had that one touchdown there from Jordan Love, where apparently the defense fell asleep for the Jaguars and lost him.
That was Malik Willis who threw it.
Malik Willis, yes.
Yeah, they totally bit on it. They did the RPO, and they kind of thought Malik Willis was going to keep the ball. And Tucker Kraft coming a little bit of Travis Kelce Jr. with his celebrations as he's going, too. He likes to have fun when he's playing there. From a celebration standpoint, not play style.
Not sure he's going to get Taylor Swift, though. Romeo Doubs, 3 catches, 72 yards, 6 targets for Doubs. Him and Christian Watson lead the team in targets with 6 apiece. Jaden Reed, 2 for 55. Obviously had the 51-yard one down from Malik Willis on the left sidelines that set up the game-winning field goal. Watson, 4 for 39. Did a little bit more of the, you know, we're going to get you the ball in short areas versus trying to wait for you to get open downfield. Whether it be a first down play where the ball was like thrown at his shoelaces, he went down and caught it. Taking advantage of him there more than kind of forcing it down the field. And I think that was by design by the Green Bay Packers because they realized he was kind of really not being utilized at all in this offense as far as from a target perspective.
Yeah, this was definitely get Christian Watson involved a little more this week. So I saw that as well, like you were talking about. And he seemed effective. You know, he doesn't, the hands of Romeo Doubs really just overshadows all the other receivers' talent ability right now the last few weeks since he's been suspended. I mean, that ball he caught on the sideline today was incredible. It was perfectly by Jordan Love on the line to him. But Christian Watson's another guy. We saw how hot he can get when he gets a lot of plays his way last season. Let's keep trying to feed him the ball, see what he can do. I don't know. He doesn't have a big play this year. What does he have? 1, 2 touchdowns? 2 touchdowns this year, I think they showed in the graphic this year. You definitely would love to get him more involved than what he's got right now, and that was definitely part of the game plan today.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. He's drawing the double coverage, right? He's drawing 2 guys to him, so he's essentially been a decoy all year long. He's got a 44-yard catch against Arizona. He's got a 37-yard catch against the Titans.
Yeah.
His touchdown's coming in week 1 against the Eagles, and he had a touchdown, obviously, against the Cardinals as well. So those are his 2 big plays. But even then, like I was saying before, when you look at targets, he had 5 targets against the Eagles. Okay, so that was good. Didn't play against the Colts. 2 targets against the Titans. 1 target against Minnesota. 4 against Arizona. 2 against Houston. And then 4 more today.
20. There. Yeah, he has 20 right? targets all year. That is, that they need to obviously get the ball to him a little more than that.
Let's see here. So we start talking about Watson. And he's not the number one wide receiver. If we talk about who the number one wide receiver is since the Doubs suspension, it's clearly Romeo Doubs.
Clearly.
Because Dontavian Wicks was that guy and no longer. 2 catches, 11 yards. He only had 2 targets on the day. That's it, folks. Couple of targets for Emmanuel Wilson for negative yards. Couple for Josh Jacobs for negative yards. Bo Melton, Ben Sims each had a target. Chris Brooks had a target of one with a catch of 1 yard. there on offense. If we look at the defensive side of the football, Devontae Wyatt is back, and Charlie Usen is on it, folks. Charlie, do you remember what Charlie Usen said? He was positive that Devontae Wyatt was going to be involved in a turnover this week.
He was.
And Devontae Wyatt was involved in a turnover again this week, recovered a fumble. I believe Adrian Cooper caused it.
He did.
But Devontae Wyatt was involved in it.
Yes, Devontae Wyatt. Me, handshake emoji, Charlie Usen in the middle, calling turnovers for specific players on Wisconsin Sports Daily this weekend. So, Devontae Wyatt.
Yeah, you said Xavier McKinney.
Yes, I said the streak starts back up again.
Correct.
Devontae Wyatt's a stud. He's been the best guy on the front for the entire season from a consistency standpoint. When he got back in the game, it was immediately an impact again. And Adrian Cooper, man, I can get another hot take out here for you, a crazy take. The Packers will win the Defensive Rookie of the Year, whoever it is. It's either Adrian Cooper or Evan Williams. I'm going to say it right now. Packers will win that award this year.
Now we need to see what's wrong with Evan Williams first, because that was a hamstring, they said, during the game. And again, that created a bunch of problems in the secondary for the Packers. Once Evan Williams went out, things kind of went haywire for the Packers. But we'll get to that coming up when we talk more about the defense. Also going to hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Malik Willis or Jordan Love, maybe both, depending. I'm assuming both are going to talk. So we'll see what both of those guys say. Adrian Cooper is a stud. I don't care how many times we want to talk about this, but he's going to be a stud. 9 tackles, 5 solo, had a sack, a tackle for a loss, a pass defended, a quarterback hit, and leads the team in tackles. Eric Wilson, another good week. He had 9 tackles, 5 solo, and a tackle for a loss as well. Isaiah McDuffie, 8 plus 4 solo. Xavier McKinney had that interception for the Packers. He had 6 tackles, 4 solo there. Javon Bullard, on the other hand, did have 5 tackles, 4 solo. But when they lost Evan Williams, he became a target of Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, he did. And it forced everything to move around, right? Now Keyshawn had to go back to the nickel spot, and you saw he got mossed by Ingram at the end of the game. Stokes wasn't a liability when he had to come in, but it shifts everything around. And Bullard obviously has been a lot more effective in that slot corner role than at strong safety. That's why Evan Williams has been playing there majority of the season.
No question. And I don't know, you know, again, if Evan Williams is out, will that change how they can play Xavier McKinney going forward? I think it's going to change how they can play Xavier McKinney going forward, would be my guess. But you still got to enjoy the 6th interception.
And now Lawrence is picked off on 2nd down and 13. It's McKinney, his league-leading 6th interception of the season.
Right. And Xavier McKinney is doing something that doesn't normally happen with the Green Bay Packers. According to Wes Hockowitz of Packers.com, 6 interceptions through the first 8 games are the most by a Packers player since Willie Buchanan had 6 in 1978. Ooh. I was 2 years old.
Wasn't
the last time it happened.
Not even a thought.
No, I didn't think it would be for
no,
you. No,
not even a thought.
No, not even a thought. No. How old are you?
I was born in February of 2000.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So how old are your parents?
My dad is 66. My mom is 55.
So they were alive. They saw all this.
My oldest sister was born in 79.
79?
So this is...
That's my brother's age.
46 years since that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's my brother's age. So, all right. So there you go. So that in itself says a lot. I think they're going to have to play him differently, because if Bullard is back there at safety, or if it's Keyshawn Nixon, or whatever they decide to do, if Bullard's going to be at safety and somebody else is going to play in the slot, then whoever's playing in the slot is going to have to play it well, right? They pulled Stokes today for Carrington Valentine and said, that's enough, and put Carrington Valentine in there. Now, Valentine has the ability to make plays for sure, but he also likes to gamble a little bit, and that's what gets him in trouble.
Yeah, it's a theme for all of Green Bay's corners. They're all gamblers when they do it. Even Keyshawn Nixon, I mean, you don't really want to see high tackle totals for your corners, right? That's not what you're trying to find. Jair's been awesome, it feels like, this year. Seems like he's back into his number one corner role. They've struggled to find that number two corner in Green Bay the last few years. You see it with Keyshawn Nixon, was playing a lot more outside the last few weeks, and he is not made to be the slot guy right now. He cannot cover tight ends that are bigger than him. He has the speed advantage for sure, but It is not good when he is playing the nickel. It's much better for him to be on the outside, and it is much better for the defense because then we get Javon Bullard in the nickel.
Correct. And that's something else that I'm anxious to see how this is going to be. What's the adjustment going to be by Halfley? Because, look, you're going to want to rush him back for the Lions game. I understand that because the Lions offense threw up 52 against the Titans today. So I get it. You want all hands on deck. But it's the first time you're facing Detroit. We all have to remember that. And if you rush him out there too soon and he does more damage to the hamstring, then he's going to be out even longer. And I know you're going to want to rush Jordan Love back. And you're going to want to rush everybody back to playing this Detroit game. But you have a bye week the week after. So if you have to play this game shorthanded and essentially give up an L, I think that's something that has to be considered as we go throughout this week.
Yeah, I understand your logic on that.
Big picture.
Big picture move for sure. It's just that this NFC North is a gauntlet right now. And this was a huge win, not just because of you don't want to lose this game to Jacksonville, but you got to take advantage of Minnesota losing a game that they probably weren't going to lose on paper. And the Lions, you know they're going to roll through all the teams that have no business competing with them. This is I don't think it becomes a measuring stick game for Green Bay next week by any means.
Not if all these guys are out.
Right. It's not. It's definitely not that. But you want to compete against the top teams, not just in the division, but in the NFL at this point now too. So I'm hesitant to think that they're going to be like, oh well, we'll just chalk this one up and not play with our best guys.
It is 30-27, your final. Packers over the Jaguars. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. He is our guy, other side of the glass, Crazy Takes, Tommy Wirtz. Of course, he produces the Pack-A-Day Radio Show weekday mornings from 8 to 9 with Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. And, of course, they'll have Dusty Evely on, Pack-A-Day Radio Show film analyst. Will join Andy tomorrow morning at 8:20. Will not want to miss that. He is so, so good. Love having Dusty Evely on my show as well. And then, of course, from 9 to 11, it's the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis tomorrow. They had Brandon McManus on last week after the game winner. Go back, listen to it on your Odyssey app or at thefanmilwaukee.com. So that'll be a fun show tomorrow from 9 to 11. And, of course, Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's tomorrow as well from 2 until 5. And, of course, all shows broadcast from the Fan Studios powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Up next, what will Crazy Takes Tommy Wirtz come up with for his drive of the game? And still room for you as well. Nicolay Law fan line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee.
It's time for the drive of the game. Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers get the win today in impressive fashion. Well, kind of. 30-27 Packers over the Jaguars. If I say impressive fashion and you're listening and you haven't seen the game, you're like, oh, they won by like 14, 21 points against the Jaguars. Good. No, not exactly. But they lost a bunch of dudes in this game. And that's kind of part of the reason I said they won it in impressive fashion, because you started talking about Jordan Love gone with a groin injury, Evan Williams left with a hamstring injury, Alexander was hobbled on the Evan Ingram touchdown, Josh Jacobs was limping towards the end of the game. Now, he eventually did an interview after the game on the field. We'll play that back for you in just a little bit here. Plus, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur, who is talking currently. And then if Jordan Love or Malik Willis talk, we'll get that for you as well. But drive of the game, I always let Crazy Takes Tommy Wirtz do that as we broadcast from the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. What say you, Tommy Wirtz?
Yeah, sometimes the drive of the game, you have to come up with something and, you know, put the car in manual, if you would. This one, automatic, absolutely. The drive of the game is the last drive of the game. It has to be. Josh Jacobs starts it off, 4-yard run just to get the clock moving a little bit. Matt LaFleur could sense that his defense was gassed and the Jaguars' offense was humming in that fourth quarter. But he draws up a beautiful play for Jaden Reed, 51 yards. Yes, he's as valuable to this offense as anyone on the team. I'll say it again. I am going to double down on it. And then a very heads-up play by Chris Brooks after to not go into the end zone makes Jacksonville use their last timeout. Why don't we hear the game winner one more time that closed it off?
Packers looking to make it 4 in a row. Yard attempt. McManus, for the second straight week, a Green Bay Packers game-winning field goal.
Bye Duval. That forgot about that at the end.
I love the bye Duval.
I got to understand. I got to ask, you know, Twitter or Google, wherever I go for this. What is the last, if it's ever been done before, where your two straight games of game-winning field goals in your first two games as a new player? And don't get me wrong, Braden Narveson is going to make that field goal. It'll probably hit off the right upright, but it'll bounce in. I have confidence in that. At the end of the game, it was an easy chip shot. Shouldn't have been an issue at all. But, man, like you said, Goody, bringing in McManus where you know there's no fear at all in this. And a great, great last drive of the game there. Malik Willis, hats off to you. I am in debt to you because you saved the season at this point with the three games that you have played.
I would say so, yes.
Malik Willis has saved the season for Green Bay.
And you could argue McManus may have saved the season too.
Yeah, that's
because,
a fair
point. I don't know if Narveson, he probably hits the one today, but I don't know if he hits the one last week. So from that aspect, and again, all of that goes back to Goody again, right? He made a mistake on the kicker situation. He rectified it and got a stud to come in here and kick. And this was McManus going back to Jacksonville where he kicked last year, drilling a couple of field goals, hitting some extra points. You no longer have the sweats every time a field goal kicker has to kick a field goal. Your stomach doesn't turn over. You don't get nauseous anymore. Now you're like, okay, he'll make this and we'll get the 3 points. You just don't worry about it anymore like you used to before.
No, and even on he hit the 46-yarder today that ended up being the illegal shift, or not illegal shift. What was it? Delay of game.
On defense. Moved right before the snap.
Yeah, the delay of game penalty that bailed him out, and they settled for a field goal eventually on the drive too. But he hit that 46-yarder, no problem. Again, it was so effortless for his leg, and it was right down the middle. There was no issue of is it going to move right, move left, wherever it is. You got to give Goody his props because he not only made the change, it was an admitting that he was wrong again, and he finally is done experimenting with the rookie kicker who's
again,
never kicked.
McManus and Willis, both guys that came in at the end of training camp or after to come in and rectify situations that he didn't have fixed this offseason. He fixed two holes after training camp and preseason was done. Two of them. Two relatively big ones, it turns out, with the backup quarterback because Love can't stay on the field. Now, again, LaFleur saying, we'll get to Matt LaFleur coming up here in a little bit, but pretty much saying, I don't, like he always is going to say, he'll say the same thing tomorrow. Well, I don't know. I didn't talk to the trainers yet. It's always the same thing on Mondays. I don't know why they'd be bother even talking to him on Monday. But so LaFleur doesn't know anymore on the groin injury necessarily with Jordan Love as far as how long he's going to be out, how severe it is. But, you know, I mean, a groin injury can put you out for 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending on how the severity is. I don't think it was that severe to think it'll be 2, 3, 4 weeks. But again, big picture, think big picture. You have a bye week after the Lions. Let's not rush back just to say he can play for the Lions game and then not be able to move. Because the Lions, even without Hutchinson, are going to be able to bring some pressure and provide some problems probably for that Packers offensive line.
Yeah, and the big play to Kraft, the long play, not the touchdown. Jordan Love runs that ball 99 times out of 100 before he hurts his knee in any capacity. He had the first down running for it. I get it. We've kind of determined he is a gunslinger at this point now. He's trying to throw the ball down the field. Turns out to be a great play, but he also is going to take what the defense gives him, and he had the first down, but you could tell, hey, I'd rather just give this shot for Tucker Kraft than take the 6 yards and get the automatic first down.
That helped too.
He was wide open, but again, he was throwing everything off. Even and this was like the other leg that was hurting on top of it. He had planted on the right leg when he threw that ball early in the game that got hurt. Yep. It wasn't the left leg. So, yes, Kraft was open and the play looked awesome and it was great, but you could tell it hurt more to throw that ball than to think about running it and sliding to get the first down.
And like I said, he could have came out. He could have been like, dude, this is bothering me. I'm done. Like, put Malik in. And he kept trying to play through it. They had him in the blue tent at one point.
Yeah.
And he came out, got his helmet, and said, I'm good. Let's go. I'll figure it out. And then after he limped off horribly on that, what was it, that second down play or whatever it was, and like fell before he got to the sidelines, at that point, LaFleur's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You could tell me that you can play all you want, but you can't move enough to protect yourself, so we're done. We're going to put Malik Willis in and see what happens. Now, again, if this is the Lions game, I don't know. I don't think Malik Willis can beat the Lions, but who knows? I mean, he's surprised me so far already this year. And again, the deal with him being able to run changes how a defense is going to defend you. They're not going to blitz Malik Willis as much. They're not going to do these things that you would take chances on. They're just going to say, tell you what, if you beat us with your arm, we'll live with it. But you're not running for 75 or 80 yards against us on the ground. And I think if that's going to be the case, maybe the Packers will have a fighting chance if he ends up having to play quarterback next week. Maybe. We'll see. Packers get the win today over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some injuries, obviously, Jordan Love, Evan Williams, possibly Jair Alexander and Josh Jacobs as well. Alexander looked like he was hopping on one leg after the Evan Ingram touchdown. Jacobs came out before that Chris Brooks run, kind of limping a little bit. But speaking of Josh Jacobs, he did talk after the game right there on the sideline on Fox 6, and this is what that sounded like after the Packers get the win.
How happy do you think he is not to be wearing a damn Las Vegas Raiders jersey?
Yeah, another guy, though, that voice doesn't match the guy very well.
Because it's a little bit higher?
Yeah, it's just not the Patrick Mahomes level of doesn't match the guy. But when I first heard him talk, I was like, that's what Josh Jacobs sounds like? Yeah.
That's the one thing about doing radio that you'll find. People will envision you looking one way.
Yeah.
And then when they meet you out in public, they're like, oh, I pictured to be this, this, and this. And I had no idea you were this, this, and this. Unless you talk about your physical stature on the air. Nobody has any idea until they actually meet you. Yep. I've gotten that so much in the course of my career. Hey, something on Josh Jacobs here quick. Ryan Wood tweeted this out earlier. Josh Jacobs with Jordan Love behind center today, 12 carries, 39 yards for a 3.25 yard average. Josh Jacobs with Malik Willis behind center, 13 carries, so one more carry, 88 yards, 6.7 yard average. As Wood points out, Jacobs wore down that Jaguars defense in the second half, could see it coming at halftime. And that is why it is so critical to not give up on the run. Now, I don't know if he would have had that many carries in the second half had Jordan Love stayed in there. Don't know. But when Malik Willis came in there, you knew he was going to get the ball in the second half.
Yeah, it's the Malik Willis effect, right? You got to worry about him so much in the run game. It's another testament to Matt LaFleur, how he's able to adjust the offense so well mid-game, and he already, now with two games under his belt of Malik Willis, he has a completely different game plan if Malik Willis has to play versus how Jordan Love has to play.
And can change in the middle of the game, clearly.
Right. Yes, and it was beautiful. Beautiful to watch again. The offense wasn't maybe prime Malik Willis offense with how we saw in his two starts, but he came in and looked again like he didn't miss a beat after, and I thought he was solid again today. Josh Jacobs, obviously, big man, team on the back on the offensive side.
Packers get the win 30-27. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express as we broadcast from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Take a quick timeout, come back, other side, continue on, get more into the defensive side of the ball, defensive play of the game. We'll tell you what that is. Plus, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur coming up in the next hour, and then hopefully Jordan Love and or Malik Willis as well. Still time for you to get in. Going to 5 o'clock. Dial it up. The Nicolay Law fan line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at The Fan Milwaukee.
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Packers get the win, baby. Yes, they do. 30-27. Lots of good stuff to talk about here. Packers defense gets a couple more turnovers in this one. Xavier McKinney with an interception. Devontae Wyatt had a fumble recovery that I believe was caused by Edrin Cooper. No touchdown passes by Jordan Love. Did throw a pick. Now, I don't know what you thought about the pick. And again, the Packers won 30-27, so I thought it was a great play by the cornerback. I don't think it was a bad decision by Jordan Love necessarily.
I think we disagree on that one.
That's okay. We can disagree. Yeah, That's why I'm asking you.
I think it was a bonehead throw. I think it was trying to make something happen that wasn't there. And especially, You can't be in the that drive was a difference in the game too, right?
That ball to me, that ball floated because he was hurt and couldn't get as much behind it as he wanted to. I think that was part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a lack of awareness on your body right there. Then Jordan Love, I did not think that that throw needed to be made, and I thought that that was really, especially in hindsight, at the end of the game. But in the moment, you know, it felt like we needed to score a touchdown on that drive and at least get points, right? They kept bringing it up with Albert and Vilma on the call. It felt like the Packers were up 17-24-0 in that first. The Jaguars didn't get a first down the whole first quarter, and I think they had one going up until the third drive of the second.
Yeah, it was like the 5-minute mark or something of the second quarter before they had their first down, I think.
Yeah, they needed to score on that drive. You have to put these teams away, and don't get me wrong, you win this game, and I don't think this game looks as ugly as it was close against Jacksonville, but You gotta put it away on that drive, and I did not like the throw. It looked like the guy was blanketed all over him, and I don't know where you throw that ball where it gets completed. That's why I thought the throw was kind of a bonehead throw.
I don't know if every cornerback makes that play, though. I do think the cornerback deserves credit. I thought it was a good play by him at the end of the day. Now, having said that, so he did throw an interception. He didn't throw a touchdown. But more positives, Malik Willis did throw a touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft. Josh Jacobs, a couple of touchdown rushes, 125 yards or so on the ground. That is all good stuff. And a lot of positives take away. The negatives are going to be the injuries in this game. How long is Jordan Love out with his groin injury, right? How long is Evan Williams going to be out with his hamstring injury? And we're going to hear from Matt LaFleur here, and we're going to find out what Matt LaFleur has to say about all of this, but of those two injuries, I think they're about as important as the other. I think they might be as important as the other because you saw how much Devon Bullard got exploited when Evan Williams went out of that game. We haven't seen the back of Javon Bullard's jersey all year for the most part. And as soon as he went out, Trevor Lawrence said, "Fresh meat, I'm in, let's go." And they were just throwing at him time after time after time. That's a problem, and that's something Halfley's going to have to address this week as far as what is the next best option for that secondary.
Yeah, and if we're going long-term versus short-term, I would agree with you. I think the Evan Williams injury is much more impactful to this team next week against the Lions than Jordan Love is. Obviously, for long-term plans, the Jordan Love injury. But you've seen how electric that offense is for the Detroit Lions this year. They put up 52 points today on Tennessee, and Evan Williams has been locked down an anchor in that back in that secondary right now. Him and McKinney have probably been the two best safeties graded all year in the entire NFL. So losing him is going to be much more impactful for that Lions game. I think I trust Matt LaFleur. I have all the faith. I have trust in Jeff Hafley, too, don't get me wrong.
You should. He's done a hell of a job this year.
But I think Matt LaFleur, you give him a week to draw some stuff up with Malik Willis. I'm game for it. He's never proved us wrong on that point so far this year.
So you don't think Hafley can cover up for no Evan Williams, but LaFleur can cover up for no Jordan Love? Is that what you're saying? I just want to make sure I have it correct, so I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I think, yes, Evan Williams' injury is more impactful against the Lions than the offensive injury of Jordan Love against the Lions. I think the Lions defense is, you know, losing Hutchinson's going to be hard. And if they can't rush the quarterback like that because of Malik Willis and they have to plan for his scrambling ability, it's going to change up how they do things a lot. On the defensive side, we saw how, you know, they have Laporta, one of the best tight ends in the NFL right now in
Detroit. National tight end today as well.
On top of that, they have awesome weapons in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then the two-headed monster at the running back there. I would much rather, if you had to tell me to pick one, I'll say it right now. Here's crazy take, okay? Give me Evan Williams next week before Jordan Love.
As I've said before, I don't think I'd play either one of them if either one of them were in danger of possibly, because again, both of those injuries, you could trigger both of those injuries to be worse than they are, right? A groin strain could turn into a tear quickly. A hamstring strain can tear into a tear quickly. Both of those injuries usually take rest to make sure you're 100%, because if not, it could escalate and become even worse. You have a bye week after the Lions. Again, if it's me,
They're not playing if there's any doubt that they're not going to be 100% by next week. And I get it. It's football, Sparky. Everybody's got to play through injury, Sparky. Fine. But we're too early in the season for that conversation to happen. If that was a playoff game next week, then yeah, suck it up, figure it out, see what happens. Then I'm with you. I get it. But we're close to the playoffs at this point. You're 6-2. You're feeling really good right now. If before the season started, I told you Jordan Love is going to miss two games and go out for an entire half of another game, what do you think the record's going to be? If I would have said 6-2, I'm pretty sure every Packer fan listening to the Green Bay Football postgame show during my Young Express right now on the Fan would have said, I'll take it every day of the week if we're 6-2 with all that happened to Jordan Love.
Yeah, and especially with how great the NFC North has been this year, they have kept themselves in the running. And I think they're establishing themselves as one of the best teams in the NFL on top of it at an early point in the season. I don't think that they're just NFC North contenders. I think they are legitimate playoff run contenders right now. And it's just that the Lions might be the best team in the entire league, and they have to play them next week after coming off a game where they banged up a lot of impactful players.
I don't think that take is necessarily crazy, that they might be the best team in the league right now. They might be. And now they gave up 14 to Tennessee early in that game. And I don't know how Tennessee scored those 14 points, but early on it was, what was it, 24-14 Lions or something like that?
Yeah, and they had Mason Rudolph playing today.
Correct.
It wasn't Will Levis even. And
Jameis
not that
Winston went and started for Cleveland and beat Baltimore today.
Well, that's because Jameis is a stud. Doesn't matter.
Lord. Here we go.
Doesn't matter. Did you hear, I don't know if you heard on the Mason Crosby show that Mitch Nellis totally pronounced his name Jameis this week as we were going, and it was a lot of fun poked at him, and it's even funnier to listen back to. So listen back on Friday during the pick segment on the Mason Crosby show, because Mitch Nellis got it from us after that.
As he should have.
Yes.
Can I point something out real quick? Because before we go to break, and then we'll hear from Matt LaFleur. You know how I've been all anti-Anthony Richardson this whole time, right?
You have. Yes.
I have. Okay. Did you see the quote from today after the game?
I did not.
He came out in that game, threw a horrible interception, whatever. He wasn't playing well again. They asked him, why did you come out? He said, quote, tired, ain't gonna lie.
Oh, God. Ooh, that's soft. That's
tired.
Soft. Soft from your starting.
I was tired. I needed a break. Let somebody else come in. Let Joe Flacco come in at quarterback.
I didn't realize.
Spent all that money. I was tired. You gotta be kidding
me, man.
He
bought himself a job because of that week one throw for way longer than he probably needs one. Because he is, and I was hyping him up to you, and I know that's your AFC team. And you are always like, absolutely not. Get this guy off the team.
Yep.
He might be a bottom five quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, no, might be. He is.
Yeah, it's bad.
He is. There is no question.
No idea where the ball is going when he throws
it. And like I said before, and I'll say again, they should have been in on that Devontae Adams deal. And then just sent Richardson there. Here you go, Raiders. You have yourself a new quarterback. I have Devontae Adams with Pittman, with Josh Jones, with Jonathan Taylor. Flacco's my guy for the rest of the year. We'll draft a quarterback again in the future, but we're just going to go back to doing what we were doing, which is playing old guys at quarterback and giving us a chance to win. Because that dude, Anthony Richardson, gives you no chance to win. And that's what makes Malik Willis doing what he's doing so damn impressive. Because he only had, what, 3 starts for the Titans? That was it? And they gave up on him. They said, we're done. We're going to go get a new guy. And he came here and already is essentially 3-0. Like, it's just wild to me how much of a difference it can make with just a different coaching staff, with just a different play caller, with different offensive line, different players around you. It can change everything. The one thing that never changes is how great Young Express truly is. And right now, they're looking for full-time independent contractors. What do you do if you're with Young Express? Well, it's simple. You drive for a living. That's your career, right? You get in your cargo van or your sprinter van, whatever it is that you own, and you're off to the races, baby. You go to point A, pick stuff up, drop stuff off at point B. You call back to their 24/7 dispatch team, and they tell you where to go next. Now, they say they're extremely dedicated. Take it very personal, keep drivers moving. Want to know why? Because if you aren't driving to drop off freight or pick up freight or whatever, you're not making any money. If you're just hanging out in lacrosse or whatever the case may be, wherever you may be, and waiting for somebody to get back to you to tell you where to go next, you're making no money. Nothing at all. You're just hanging out on your own, having some spare time. That's why it's so important to have a great dispatch team, and they do over there at Young Express. And 99% no-touch freight. Freight is loaded and offloaded free, so all you have to do is drive. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G express.com. Young Express, success drives them. Packers win 30-27. And I have the Bears game on my TV here against the Commanders. Bears offense looks horrible. Caleb Williams doesn't look good. They don't look good. Now, thank God for their defense, because Jaden Daniels and the Commanders have marched up and down the field on them, and they've only got 6 points out of it. But that Bears offense does not look very good against the Commanders so far this afternoon. All right, so the Packers get the win. And it is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. And of course, it is driven by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Coming up next, we'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. All right, let's talk about turning point of the game. Where did the game turn in a Packers 30-27 victory? I'll give you mine, and then Tommy Wirtz can give you his. We broadcast from the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We were there doing our show on Friday. It was a lot of fun doing Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Had a great time. Thanks for everybody that came out, was a part of that. It was on the show. That sportsbook, I mean, there's nothing like it.
Beautiful.
There's just nothing like it. You can't find a better place to watch. And again, you can go online and reserve your chair, your table, whatever, at the sportsbook. Ahead of time, so you don't got to worry about, you know, possibly having to wait when you go to the sports book for a slate of games like today. So I highly advise to reserve ahead of time, so you don't have to worry about finding somewhere to sit when you go down there. And again, they hold 500 people in that thing. 500. That's a lot of people. Man,
screens are massive.
Yes,
I think for the Packer game, the two biggest screens, they said they make one big screen. That's so awesome. It's got to be a 700-inch TV you watch.
That McManus game-winning field goal looks even better.
Yes.
Turning point of the game for me is this, and we'll see what Tommy Wirtz thinks.
From the 42, fake to Jacobs. Willis looking, steps up, takes off, across midfield, still going. And then Malik Willis slides. He will be marked down at the Jaguars' 39-yard line.
Ooh.
20-yard run. The next play, Josh Jacobs gallops in from 38 yards out. And the Packers have a touchdown. And to me, that was a turning point in the game, because that changed how the Jaguars were going to play defense the rest of the game. Once he made them aware that, remember, I can run pretty good, better than Jordan Love, they then had to change how they were going to play. And that changed everything for the Packers moving forward. And that's how Jaden Reed ends up wide open on the left sideline, because they were too busy paying attention to Jacobs and Willis. They forgot about Jaden Reed.
I love the creativity on that one. Okay, I think that mine is different. I know mine is different, but I do love that play, because it was a very impactful play, and that offense probably would have been drive of the game if they hadn't gone down and scored a field goal to win it. I think this is my turning point of the game.
Looks like he's going to be blitzing. Nope, he backs out.
Throw down at six. Lost under pressure. Lost the football. And the Packers have recovered.
The Edgerrin Cooper forced fumble. You got the offense didn't have to really draw anything up too crazy. They end up scoring in two plays. It was only 5 yards they had to go. Trevor Lawrence had a really good rhythm in that second half today. He did not look like a bust first overall pick by any means.
It started that last drive for Jacksonville in the second half with about 3-4 minutes left. That's when the offense opened up.
They had a very good rhythm. They scored 10 points in 4 minutes, I think it was, starting at the, it was just under the 6-minute mark, and then the Packers got the ball right around the 2-minute, right after the 2-minute warning. But that fumble earlier in that quarter, Edgerrin Cooper, man, he's a stud. You go out there, Devontae Wyatt in on the turnover, like Charlie Usen called. I love that play. That was a huge play, and it was great for the offense to not have to worry about, okay, how do we get downfield? How do we get into a good position here to set ourselves up for the defensive side? It was so low pressure for the offense. Matt LaFleur knew exactly what he was going to call. Tucker Kraft was wide open for his touchdown.
Yeah, it was great. Packers end up winning 30-27. Brandon McManus with another game-winning field goal. Again, don't forget Pack-A-Day radio show tomorrow morning with Andy Herman from 8 to 9 a.m. Dusty Evely will be his guest, film analyst for Pack-A-Day radio, and he is awesome. I've had him on Wisconsin Sports Daily, had him on Kurt and Long, had him on The Big Show. So yeah, definitely want to check out him at 8:20 tomorrow morning. And then from 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis tomorrow morning. And of course, Tommy Wirtz producing both of those shows. Looking forward to that. And then Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's from 2 until 5 tomorrow afternoon with myself and Charlie Usen. All right, let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked after today's big win for the Packers. Can we talk about something for a second here from Matt LaFleur? I'll continue on here in a second. He gave credit to Vrabel for making that decision to run that play. You know, the former head coach Vrabel of the Titans, Vrabel, who a lot of people thought was going to go to Ohio State, but instead has been helping out the Packers. Can we also talk about Robert Saleh is now going to be helping out the Packers as well? Tell me how Matt LaFleur is not a genius. Just tell me. I mean, Vrabel was one of the best head coaches in the National Football League for a decade. Easily one of the best head coaches in the league for a decade. Saleh, in my opinion, was not the reason the New York Jets were losing football games. They lost again today. He wasn't the reason. Damn good defensive mind. Now, I know he's helping the offense. Fine, so be it. But to be able to have Vrabel helping you, seeing something that was there on the offensive side that LaFleur didn't see and saying, hey, we should run this. Okay, they do. And then it's a gigantic play. That's huge. Again, another set of eyes with experience that can help you when, as a head coach, you know, Tommy, you don't have time to be looking at every little thing. And just, that's just a big moment. I'm sure this won't be brought up by many, but again, that one moment there pays off Vrabel being there all year for just that one play in this game.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see any effects of Robert Saleh coming out and getting credit later on from Matt LaFleur at any point in this season. But yeah, kudos to him. I mean, and Halfley looks like he's going to get a head coaching job at some point in the future if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I would think so. But you know what the nice thing is? If Halfley gets a head coaching job next year, I'll take Robert Saleh as defensive coordinator. Ooh. Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Yeah. I'm good. We can do that. I'm fine with that. Sure. But before, I would be scared to death of, oh my God, we finally get a defense and now we're going to lose the guy that actually turned this thing around. Now I don't feel nearly as bad. Whether it's Vrabel or Saleh, I still feel I'm pretty good as far as defensive coordinator goes. You still have a former head coach on that staff. You know, anytime in professional sports, and you can go back to Griffin with the Bucks until Stotts walked out on him. But anytime you have a young coach, you always want to have what they call a gray hair, kind of, there with them on that staff. Now, what does that mean? That means a guy that's been a head coach or a longtime assistant coach that knows the ins and outs of the league, has been around 100 years, and that can help you. I mean, in LaFleur's situation here, he's got two former head coaches that I think are both quality dudes and quality coaches that aren't either on the offensive side of the football, but can still help out in all areas of the game.
Yeah, and I don't think Matt LaFleur needs a lot of help on the offensive side of the football. Maybe from a defensive perspective, because he's so great at drawing up the X's and O's with a bunch of offensive guys, but how many years in a row was it always the Packers need a defense, they need a defense, yep, they need a defense? LaFleur is doing a great job surrounding himself with guys who are defensive-minded, help out that side of the ball, and let me cook on the offensive side. He is doing it the exact same way that he's been doing it now with getting, when he first brought in Vrabel, with what he's doing with Saleh, and I think he finally feels like he has a guy that he can put all that trust in Jeff Halfley, to run the defense. Doesn't want to worry about it, doesn't want to have any input or any say of it, but Joe Barry was not the move. He hung on to him too long. Now he's got all the defensive guys he can imagine up there helping him on not just the defensive side, but the offensive side.
When we talk about another set of eyes, LaFleur can't watch game film constantly while he's on the sidelines, right? He's looking at his call sheet, whatever, but he's not watching film. He's not up in the box looking over the top of what's happening. So when you have an experienced set of eyes that can literally watch film while things are going on, because I'm not even quite sure, to be honest with you, what Vrabel's responsibilities are during the course of a game day. But if he's got the ability to look at stuff and then tell him, hey, Matt, this is here. If you want it, you can have it. It's happened now multiple times. And then to be able to run it and it work, again, that's the benefit of having experienced eyes looking at things. All right, we'll continue on with full four. Can we talk about that for a second? They're saying, do you think they were surprised that you threw the football? That's what the question was, right? LaFleur said, yeah, they probably figured, what are they doing? Aren't they playing for overtime? If you're being honest with yourself right now, listening wherever you're listening, whether it be your radio, on your phone, on your Google Nest speaker, whatever, weren't you thinking the same thing that everybody else was thinking was? They're just going to hand it off 2-3 times, try and get to overtime, and then see what happens at that point. Did you really think they were going to allow Malik Willis to take a shot and possibly turn it over at any point, Tommy Wirtz?
What? No, absolutely I thought he would get a shot. On the last drive of the game?
Last drive of the game.
Yes. Why would Malik Willis not get a shot? What has he done this year apart from coming in on the very last play of a Philadelphia game to throw a Hail Mary, which he's been with the team for, what, 8 minutes or whatever right. It was at the time? Why not let Malik Willis go out there, try to make a play? He hasn't committed a single turnover in all of his games that he's played so far this year, all the snaps he's got going on. He is competent in making throws, we saw in the earlier games as well this year. Why would you not give him a chance to win the game when you had, I think, a minute 48 on the clock with two timeouts? Plenty of time. It wasn't 48 seconds. Maybe that changes things up a little bit. But I think Matt LaFleur was calculated in, let's get the ball, let's run the ball first play of the game, because a minute 48, ton of time when two timeouts. You can run the ball. See what happens when Josh Jacobs goes out there, makes a play, gets you 4 yards. If that's the case that Jacksonville thought, oh, they're going to play for overtime with 2 minutes and two timeouts, that's a shame on Doug Peterson and Ryan Nielsen, their defensive coordinator, because why would you do that? The Packers could not lose this game. This was a must-win game as far as you got to take care of business against Jacksonville. No way should they have thought that we're going to play for overtime in Duval.
It goes back to what I said when they completed that Jane Reed pass. They didn't respect him throwing the football. That's why you would approach the defensive side of the ball like that. Of, they're not going to let him throw this football. It's a tie game. They'll just play for overtime and see what happens and go from there. They're just going to try and run the clock out and get to overtime if possible. Maybe it's, you know, a couple yards here, a couple yards there throw, but they're not going to let him throw it. And when they did, exposed greatly. And a great call there by Matt LaFleur. Take a quick timeout. Come back. Other side. Malik Willis talked after the game. We'll get to that next. Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express. We broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios. Powered by the Powder Army Sportsbook. This might not be as easy as it should be. 30-27 Packers over the Jaguars. We broadcast from the Fan Studios. Powered by the Powder Army Sportsbook. C. Sparky Pfeiffer with you, along with our guy, Tommy Wirtz. Ooh, Caleb Williams just took like a 15-yard sack and took him right out of field goal range at the end of the first half. Oh, my goodness gracious. Sorry, I'm distracted by having a TV on here. This is why I always have the TV off, Tommy Wirtz.
Yeah.
But since it was on, because we had the Packers game on, I was like, oh, I can turn the Bears game on while I'm doing the show. Bad idea. I should have just left it off. Anyways, Packers win 30-27 over Jacksonville. Normally, when a guy hits a game-winning field goal, normally that's a shoe-in that they're going to win, you know, the MVP award. That's usually how it goes.
Packers looking to make it 4 in a row. Yard attempt. For the second straight week, a Green Bay Packers game-winning field goal.
It's a beautiful thing getting that game-winning field goal, but I will say, Brandon McManus, you are not my MVP of this game. Not my MVP. Josh Jacobs is my MVP of the game. I know I could have went Malik Willis. 25 for 127, two scores, including a 38-yard touchdown run, punished the defense. He was averaging almost 8 yards per carry in the second half of this game and was a gigantic piece of how this Packers team was able to win with Malik Willis at quarterback. Josh Jacobs, my MVP. Tommy Wirtz, who's yours?
Yeah, not my MVP. Brandon McManus, not my MVP. Josh Jacobs. Go to the other side of the ball. It's Edgerrin Cooper.
Oh!
Edgerrin Cooper's MVP of the game.
I thought you were going to say Malik
Willis. Nope. Oh. No, Edgerrin Cooper, absolutely. They got no pressure on Trevor Lawrence today. Trevor Lawrence got sacked one time. What happened when he got sacked that one time? Edgerrin Cooper forced a fumble. And then Devontae Wyatt picks it up. Offense goes in. It was my turning point of the game. I think Adrian Cooper was MVP. Led the team in tackles today. He defended. He deflected that Christian Kirk ball that was down the field today, where Adrian Cooper caught back up to him and forced Kirk out of the game. Even on top of it, it was a great play by him. Adrian Cooper is my player of the game today. My MVP. I think that Goody, when you just look back at this draft class, it could go down in Green Bay history at this rate right now. Looks awesome, Adrian Cooper. He's been a stud. He's gotten a little overshadowed by Evan Williams, rookie hype right now. Well, he went down today. Adrian Cooper stepped up big time.
Who's missing Quay Walker? Anybody? Was anybody watching the game today going, boy, I wish we had Quay out there.
Right. You didn't even mention him in the key injuries. He didn't play today at all. And the other four guys, all of them rank ahead of Quay Walker on the injury importance for next week.
Your top three tacklers on this team was Cooper, Wilson, and McDuffie.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd rather have my linebackers leading tackles than my safeties and my cornerbacks, if we're being honest, right?
Yes.
I don't want them to lead the team in tackles. That means things are going horribly wrong, and they're having to chase guys down as they get through the second level. So I think overall, you're right from what this could mean going forward. And we haven't even seen Hopper really out there yet, the other linebacker that they drafted.
Yep.
And he's a big thumper as well, but he hasn't had his chance to play. All right, so Malik Willis, he did talk after the game. And obviously you come in for Jordan Love, you throw a touchdown pass. You have a 20-yard run. They score two touchdowns with you in the football game. You set them up with a long throw to Jaden Reed for the game-winning field goal. You did everything you were asked to do and more, would be my guess, if you asked Matt LaFleur for Malik Willis. This is what he had to say afterwards.
There he is, Malik Willis, talking after the game, and it's hard not to like him. Like, when they made that move to get Malik Willis, and we had people on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wednesdays, weekdays, afternoons from 2 to 5, talking about Malik Willis. Every one of them that we talked about how great of a dude he is. Everybody was rooting for him. Everybody hoped he did well in Green Bay, if that's where, you know, this was going to end up being his career kind of going forward. Like, everybody loved the guy in the locker room. The media loved the guy. And everybody wanted him to do well. And when you see guys like that do well, Tommy, I think it just makes everybody happy for the guy being such a good dude.
Yeah, how can you not like Malik Willis every time he steps to the mic? Sounded great when he went up there for his two starts this year. Sounded great again today. And you heard him. He gets no reps with the one throughout the week. He gets no reps with the ones. He does everything in Indy and scout team to try to make himself better and make the defense get a better look at the quarterback for the next team. And Malik Willis, every time he's come into a game where he's had more time than one play, he's been a weapon. It's not even that he's been competent. He's been a weapon on this team. Every game he's played, he adds dynamics to this offense that a lot of teams still haven't figured out, and maybe it's because they figured Jordan Love's going to be healthy always, all the time. And the other 2 weeks where he played, they didn't have a good game plan on him because he didn't have a lot of film from Tennessee. But the three games that Malik Willis, or 2.5 games that he's played in right now for Green Bay, he has not been a liability. He has not been satisfactory. He has been exceptional at the quarterback position.
Quickly here, we only got a couple minutes left. Quick look around the league. There was a lot of offense this week around the league. A lot. Texans beat the Colts 23-20 after the game. Anthony Richardson, while he came out of the game, said he was tired from all the running around he was doing. Browns over the Ravens with Jameis Winston at quarterback, 29-24 in Cleveland. There. Cardinals come back and beat the Dolphins. They didn't lead the whole game. Came back and won at the end, 28-27. Tua comes back. Slid in the game. That was a big deal. He didn't run and try and get his head decapitated, yes. So that was good, right? That made everybody happy, Tua sliding, even though he refuses to wear the headgear. Falcons over the Buccaneers, 31-26. Kyle Pitts with a big game there, even though I still think he dropped that ball as he crossed the line. Did you see that?
I did, where second he was touchdown. Going over the end zone right there. Yep. Yeah, it was close, for sure.
Lions destroy the Titans, 52-14. Eagles, Jalen Hurts take care of the Bengals, 37-17. I wonder what the future of the Bengals is going to be. If this team ends up not making the playoffs, is Zach Taylor out? What then becomes
his
of that
seat
offense?
Is hot already. Like, his seat's hot already.
Something is going to have to change there. Patriots beat Aaron Rodgers on the Jets. Ramondre Stevenson with a couple of touchdowns there. Patriots over the Jets, 25-22. poor Aaron Rodgers. It's just,
the smallest violin being played on this side.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yes, totally agree. So those are going on right now. Currently, Chargers up 9-5 on the Saints. That's a baseball score. At halftime, Bills crushing the Seahawks 17-3 in the third. Commanders up 9-0 on the Bears. And if you were watching the game like I was in the first half, they should be up by like 20 points at least. Broncos, Bo Nix is having a game against the Panthers right now. That's 21-7
Bryce Young
halftime.
Back.
Bryce Young back. Bryce Young is back, yes. And Chiefs over the Raiders 17-10 in that one. Raiders coming in 2-5. Chiefs coming in still undefeated. Mahomes does have a touchdown throw. Kareem Hunt, a touchdown run. Kelce is the one with the touchdown catch in that game. In this one, the Packers get the win 30-27. Brandon McManus with a game-winning field goal. Next up, the Detroit Lions. All day tomorrow, we'll be talking about the big Packers victory. Starts at 8 a.m. with the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman. From 8 to 9, Dusty Evely, his guest at 8:20, film analyst. 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. You want to check that one out. Then it's the Jim Rome Show, 11 to 2. And then back to local with my show, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up with, by Wendy's with Charlie Usen and myself. Lots of Packers talk tomorrow here on The Fan. Have a good one. Toodles!